Well. What a week it was, lads. What a week. Welcome into In the Pocket Across the Pond. Lewis Brindle, Alex Shavels, Alex Brindle. Al, we were just talking pre-record, and you said all the players that should have scored points this week didn't score points. So maybe it wasn't a week. Maybe it wasn't a week then.
Oh, was that a question?
Sort of leading into a question, like.
All right. What a what?
No. let's get right into it. Anyway, I think we should start with the Eagles and the Rams in the NFC. Mm-hmm. We'll start NFC. Eagles 37, Rams 20. Saquon Barkley over 300 scrimmage yards. Insane performance. Yeah. What more can you say about this, Shepard? Barkley, are there words to describe?
Really good.
That's two of them.
I would say, you know, always looking for arguments on both sides. I would say that considering he had 255 yards on the ground, he added another almost 50 yards through the air, two touchdowns. Why in my head does that add up to more than 40 fantasy points?
Well, it's 46.
46. It should have been more. It feels like it should have been more.
I agree.
Maybe it's because PPR leagues are kind of, again, overpowered, and probably you're more likely to get those wide receivers going off if they get like 15, 20 receptions. But it feels like it should have scored more points.
I know what you mean. Like when you see a guy had 300 yards, it's like, okay, well, did he get 60 points then? 70? But yeah, I mean, he's taking the load off the defense and the quarterback, and I feel like they've become a really dynamic offense, I think, this team. You know, the winning games comfortably like they are here against the Rams, who, you know, tough competition. Rams have been on a bit of a heater recently. But the Eagles are maybe pulling away, I think, as maybe in the NFC, the number two behind the Lions, Al.
Yeah, I think at the minute, with the way that the Eagles are playing, I mean, that was pretty dominant when they just put the Rams away, really. And the Rams are a team who are competing for, you know, the lead in their own division and probably going to be a playoff team in their own right. And this didn't feel all too close, to be honest with you.
No, not really. Another one that wasn't all too close, I mean, even more so than this game, was the 49ers and the Packers. 49ers 10, Packers 38. I mean, the backup quarterback really did hinder the 49ers. It was pretty late in the day that Brock Purdy was announced that he wasn't going to be playing, and then Brandon Allen came in. And yeah, 10 points. What I will say is, okay, in fairness to Brandon Allen, this 49ers team with Christian McCaffrey and Jordan Mason, who was sort of one of the leaders in the rushing yards in the first couple of months of the season, they had 44 rushing yards in the whole game. That sort of, the quarterback isn't running the ball. And I know what you mean. I know, like, you take away that aerial threat and it's sort of easier to pin down the running game. But still, you'd expect this 49ers offense to have more than 44 rushing yards. And I will also say, I'm going to be getting a bit of a soapbox here. I will pass it over to you in a sec. But the defense really didn't help them at all. 38 points. Like, help this quarterback out a bit. 38 points is ridiculous. I mean, you saw, at least when Tua was out for Miami, at least the defense squeezed the game a bit, you know, and like took the juice out of the game and made it quite boring fixtures, but still. But I don't know, I suppose my question is more about the 49ers rather than the Packers. We keep saying maybe they'll right the ship, They've not done yet.
Yeah, I mean, I think the game did wonders for Brock Purdy's contract negotiations.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. I think the 49ers are still reeling. You know, they climbed Everest last year just to lose again in the Super Bowl So you saw the year after that had happened in 2020, there was a bit of kind of a lingering nature there. And I think, you know, it's as to be expected with this 49ers team. They're really injured, like they seem to be every other year. The players aren't stepping up like Deebo Samuel. That you had the whole Brandon Ayuk fiasco and situation before the season started. McCaffrey's not been there. Purdy's banged up now. I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's one of those where, obviously, this season, if they get into the playoffs, it would be really good. And I think we still expect them probably to be there or thereabouts. You know, what do you give it? Another year of being one of the, you know, quote, dominant teams in the league before you start asking, okay, are we just going to go our separate ways here? Is this Andy Reid in Philadelphia with, you know, Shanahan at the head coaching position? Do both of us need different things now?
Okay, that's a good shout, to be fair. That is a good question, because as you say, like that Andy Reid comparison is true. It's like, how much does this take before it's a bit like, okay, well, maybe
we both just need fresh starts.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. I don't know. Obviously, that's...
Because we're getting to the end of the life cycle of this team, this yeah. iteration yeah, of this 49ers yeah. that, albeit have been to the Super Bowl twice and have been to the NFC Championship game, what is it, the last 4 or 5 years, they've been there, you know, but we're getting to the end of this iteration of the 49ers now.
Yeah, yeah. I know, it's a good show. Well, yeah, I suppose we've just got to see how they shape up towards as the season goes on, and then next year as well. They do have obviously a young quarterback there, you'd hope is going to, you know, stay the course and stuff. But on the other side, Sherpos, the Packers, I mean, the three losses that the Packers have had this year have been to the Lions, who are 10-1, the Vikings, who are 9-2, and the Eagles, who are 9-2. So, fair enough, the Packers have been winning the games that you'd expect them to win. Obviously, the issue with two of those three losses is that they are divisional opponents. But I don't know, like I said, I do like this Packers team. They're always there or thereabouts. I in the episode that you weren't here, Sharples, I did, this is just patting myself on the back, I did say Josh Jacobs was my guy to pick up because I thought he was going to be good for the rest of the season. I did not in any way, shape or form predict 3 touchdowns in this game, but I sort of did. But the Packers, Sharples, I mean, are they maybe a bit of a bogey team, or are the Lions just going to walk all over them when push comes to shove?
Well, I mean, they were a bogey team for Dallas last year in the playoffs. Mm. It's not even a shot, just legitimately true. I think we all went into that one assuming the Cowboys would walk all over them and they just stopped them.
The curse as well. The Jerry World curse started with that humiliating Packers defeat.
But yeah, I mean, 8-3, especially considering that Jordan Love missed, what, 3-4 weeks?
Three.
I think to be 8-3 is unbelievable. Really solid all round. They've not got that standout wide receiver, but they've got Reed and Watson and who's the other fella?
Wicks,
yeah.
Melton Mowbray. Pork pie.
Melton Mowbray. So, yeah, nice fun. Hard for fantasy because you never know who to pick in that receiving core. And then Tucker Kraft could goose you 1 week, as he did when I picked him. Score a couple of touchdowns.
Big time.
Yeah, interesting for fantasy. But, yeah, no, real strong team. One of the favourites in the NFC. And they are 100% a bogey team. I wouldn't predict them to go the whole way because I think everyone's probably got the Lions in that spot. But equally, not a team you want to be playing in those late rounds because they can do anyone.
Isn't it? That is true. And with this running game rolling. Elsewhere, I'll figure this one out for me. Chiefs 30, Panthers 27.
Well, I mean, what you know, they came up against last year's number one pick.
What do you expect them to do?
Yeah. Weird one. Weird. I mean, maybe the Chiefs' defense isn't as good as we thought. Maybe it might mean their offense needs to start clicking and high flying again. Who knows?
I know. For me, it's like, listen, I don't care if if you're saying, well, they still won. They're still finding a way to win. They're still winning. I don't care. I also don't care about the whole anyone can beat anyone in the NFL week to week. The simple fact is the Chiefs should have wiped the floor with the Panthers. That's simple as. Mm. The Chiefs should have wiped the floor with them, and they didn't. And this was, I mean, probably Bryce Young's best game of his career, certainly of the season. And the Panthers put up a really good fight, a good game. I mean, it says patronising when I'm saying that, but like, you know, get lost to the Panthers, the crap. So yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, Sharpe was like, the Chiefs, another one score win, another win by like three or, you know, less points. What's going on? What is happening here?
I mean, probably you'd have to put it down to complacency, I'd imagine, before the match and probably at halftime going into the third quarter. I mean, they were up by a fair distance. I think it was 27-16 going into the third, and then all of a sudden the Panthers got themselves a touchdown and a field goal. And yeah, I don't really know. They won. It's fine. You know, if they'd have lost, I think obviously the sky would be falling, but they got the win. It's not pretty. Yeah. They've been doing it all season. They're probably going to do this all the way to the Super Bowl.
That'd be annoying, but true. In the AFC East, Patriots 15, Dolphins 34. Dolphins are getting rolling. They're rolling. Jalen Waddle had a great game on my bench because obviously he was on my bench. Why wouldn't he have been on my bench? But yeah, 5-6, the Dolphins. It's going to be a good test this weekend for them against the Packers. But I think in our predictions, I have the Dolphins to win that division. Obviously, I don't think that's going to happen now. But Sharples, are they going to? Do they make the playoffs? The Dolphins. They got a few tough games coming up, but if this team gets rolling,
yeah, I mean, it probably helps being in the division that they're in. I mean, playing the Patriots twice and the Jets twice, both of who've been awful. And, you know, last year they were this unbelievable offense, you know, first in points and I think top two or three in yards as well. So we know we've got it in them. Now they've got the weapons. Well, sorry, not the weapons, but they've got Tua back at the helm, which I didn't think was such a big deal, but apparently it is a massive deal to them. So
yeah,
as long as he can keep that, you know, skull stable, then they've got a good chance. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they won the next few, and then they're sort of sitting about, you know, 8-6, 9-6, and then you're in a real good position. So probably helped by the division, helped by the AFC overall, because I think the NFC has been, in my opinion, stronger this year. But yeah, it's just really all about Tua. I think we've seen that now more than ever. I mean, you know, he's been injured in the past and it's not really been that much of a thing, but we've seen it this year. They completely shut down without him. So wrap him in cotton wool and hope for the best, I think.
Yeah. And the Dolphins do. I still slated to play the Jets twice. So we know that's going to be at least 7 wins for the Dolphins. Yeah, Al, I feel it feels right to talk to you about this one, the Harbowl, as it's being called. Ravens Chargers. What did you make of this? What did you make of the Harbowl, Al? Ravens 30, the Chargers Harbowl, 23.
Well, I mean, John's got his little brother's number. I think that's 3 wins out of 3 now in the Harbour, one of those being for a Super Bowl. Yeah, I mean, I really wasn't sure which way this was going to go. Ravens offense looked great. Defense looked like it was kind of tightening up a little bit as well. But this is what the Ravens will do. They'll kind of go on a weird streak where who did they lose against last week? It was someone really it was the Steelers, wasn't it? They lost against the Steelers, and then we're kind of thinking they're on a bit of a wobble. Then they beat the Chargers. And then, you know what? I think just because we've seen this movie before, I think they'll end up beating the Eagles this next week, and they'll be Ravens to the Super Bowl all over again.
Until
they lose and it isn't anymore. So, you know.
It's getting like the Browns or something, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I fully expect them to beat the Eagles this week in a huge kind of game, and then they'll slip on a bit of a banana skin. But yeah, no, it was a good game. Lamar looked as efficient as ever, and you know, I just wanted the Chargers to put up a bit more of a fight. I think
what I was, you know, what I was thinking as I was watching the highlights of this game was like, this Chargers team, this is out of the blue. They sort of have no right to be this, you know, this high in people's estimations right now. You know, first season with a new head coach, new regime, all that sort of stuff. I think it's a testament to how good this team has been that we're thinking like, oh, well, this is going to be a good, you know. Ravens are Super Bowl contenders. The Chargers are in a transitional year and they're still doing great. So I was thinking, like, give it a year, and, you know, Ladd McConkey, God knows what pick he's going to be in fantasy next year and stuff like that. And let's see. But good team, really good team, still, I think, going to be in the playoffs. But, yeah, maybe it's not going to be this year for the Chargers, but yeah. Here's one for you. I want you, I've got three games here, lads, and I want you, this can apply to all of them, but I want you to just pick one and it'll be interesting which ones you pick, okay? So there was three upsets, I feel like, this week, and I want you to both answer separately. Which one should we read into most? So the Browns upsetting the Steelers in the snow game, 19-24. The Titans upsetting the Texans, 32-27. Or the Cowboys upsetting the Commanders, 34-26. Sharples, which are you reading into more?
Well, given that those three were all on my shortlist for not buying it wins this week,
okay, but no, I guess my more specific question is, which are you reading into in the losing team?
Okay. I'm worried about this Texans team.
Okay.
I mean, bold prediction and everything before the season, but I didn't think it would have been that wild for them to make a really deep playoff push and end up in the Super Bowl. But now I'm just, it's just weird how much better they looked last year when CJ Stroud was a rookie. I don't know, and they've got, you know, they brought in some unbelievable pieces. They're making the most of it while Stroud's on his rookie deal. You know, Will Anderson in there on the defensive side, obviously Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins, you know, blossomed into probably a top five wide receiver, and yet it's just not as fluid as I thought it'd be. I thought it'd just be a case of Stroud building and building, and they just look a lot more, I don't know, calm. But they're not. I mean, allowing themselves to get into a dogfight with a team like the Titans, who is just pure, you know, they certainly put up a lot of points. That you know, the Titans are capable of doing that, but equally just as likely to throw six or seven interceptions with Will Levis. And, you know, I really thought they'd be a bit of a classier team and not allow themselves to, get drawn in by the likes of the Titans. So still 7-5, still, you know, playoff bound, but just hasn't been quite as smooth as I thought it would be.
Maybe the Texans organization is playing a genius long game. They've seen Stroud's potential, and it's like, right, let's get him to play bad for 3 years so we don't need to pay him that much. Al, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a bit to read into with both the Cowboys win over the Commanders and that Titans win over the Texans. Worried about both of those offenses. Obviously, the Commanders, I mean, they're really stalling at the minute. Daniels hasn't been amazing for fantasy. And you should
this
not
week,
be
though.
Losing. Yeah, well, I mean, you get an 80-yard touchdown in one play, you're probably not going to have a good game. but yeah, no, the Texans, yeah. I mean, just goes to show, if your name is in that kind of head coaching cycle, you should take your chance while you got it, because I don't think anyone's going to be clamoring for Bobby Slowick, the Texans offensive coordinator, this summer like they might have done last summer.
Yeah,
I mean, in some senses I feel for CJ Stroud, because I think they've not had the best of luck with injuries. He's not really been protected, but yeah, I mean, the fortunate that they're probably in the worst division in the NFL, so they could probably still make it into the playoffs. They probably will still win the division. But they're not one of those teams at the minute where you think, oh, they could make a run out. Because, you know, like, anyone from the NFC West could make a run in the playoffs. The Buccaneers, I think, could make a run in the playoffs. the Packers or the Vikings. Well, not the Vikings, actually. The Packers could make a run in the playoffs. The Vikings are one of those teams that I think, along with the Texans, that are a one and done waiting to happen.
So we're putting the Steelers' loss down to the snow game. Is that right? The snow. Broncos, Bucks, Lions, all comfortable wins. They're all playoff teams, pretty much, I'd say. Seahawks as well, finishing the divisional gauntlet atop the NFC West. Who'd have thought that? Going 2-1 in that divisional gauntlet. So they're 6-5 now. Impressive victory, Sherples.
Eagles coming up against the Rams team that was finding momentum, weapons back, and just dismantled them.
Yeah. Al?
Eagles too, yeah. It wasn't really close, like I said before.
Agreed. I also went Eagles, yeah. Beat a good team, fair and square. That's how you do an impressive victory. Not buying it win, Sherples.
Yeah, I had to go for the Titans. Just, like, it pretty much summed up by what I said about, you know, they could put up 30 points in a row, they could throw 6 interceptions. You just don't know what it's going to be, and it just is entirely down to what happens on the day. So, really don't know where they go with this quarterback and with the team currently.
Yeah, Al?
I'm going to go my Dallas Cowboys. Because, I mean, I think this spoke to the Commanders and the kind of the turmoil the season is currently in, and the fact that they need to right the ship more than it's about the Cowboys being able to do this again this season.
Yeah, of course. I went for the back-to-back Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. Because you just look back at the past few games, okay, I know the Broncos are good, but, you know, 3 games ago you beat the Broncos by 2 points, and then 2 weeks ago they lost fair and square to the Bills, and now this week you beat borderline the worst team in the league by 3 points in a bit of what became a bit of a shootout. That's not championship-winning football right now for me by the Chiefs, so not quite buying that at the moment. But who's the worst team in the league, Sherples?
It is the New York Giants, who are terrible and deliberately trying to be terrible.
That's it. Al?
Yeah, I'm going to say the Giants purely because the neighbours didn't play this week, so they get a week off. I'm going to say the Giants too.
Agreed. I'm also going to say the Giants, even though your point does ring very true, Sherples, and it feels like they should be exempt from this category if they are purposefully wanting to lose. But we'll give them a week. We'll give them a week, and we'll see. On to the fantasy performances of the week, the best fantasy performances of the week. I mean, we might as well only be talking about one player here because he outscored everybody by a massive margin. Saquon Barkley, 225 on the ground, 2 touchdowns, 4 for 47 through the air, 46.2 PPR fantasy points. Historic run. I saw some about his MVP odds going, like, you know, getting something like divided by 10, you know what I mean? It was 60-1, and then after this game it was 6-1 or something like that. I mean, he's got to keep up this pace to win MVP, because we know historically MVP is, you know, what's the word I'm thinking of? It's just it's a short on version of basically the quarterback for the team with the most wins. That's the MVP now. But Barkley, whoa. This was crazy. Every time he got the ball, he was just running for 70 yards, Al.
Yeah, I mean, he's insane. This just goes to show what he can do on a really good team. Not buying the MVP talk, though, you know.
No.
You're not going to convince me that any running back is going to win MVP if Christian McCaffrey didn't win it last year. So.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the one. Jaden Daniels, nice game. In the loss, though, 275 for 2 and 74 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown. Maybe teams have figured out Daniels a little bit, though, Sharples. I mean, he's not going to be lucky enough to face the Cowboys' defense every week. You know. Jordan Addison, 8 for 162 and 1. Sharples is shaking his head.
On my bench. Consistently getting four targets a game. And to be fair to him, turning it into a touchdown quite frequently. And then, you guys talked me into... didn't intentionally do it, but with you wanting to trade for him, Lou, and I think one of you picked him as a start of the week, I started
Adunze
over him, who did not score 27 points like Addison did.
No, he did not quite.
Actually, sorry,
quite.
30 points. 30 points, yeah.
Cortland Sutton, 8 for 97 and 2. I love playing little games like this, lads. On the season, Cortland Sutton is the wide receiver. What, Al?
19.
Sharples?
I had 16 in my head.
9.
No, he isn't. No, he's not. That's a lie.
That's not a lie. That's inconsistency for you. That's all that is. That's inconsistency at the position.
I agree. I was looking at that thinking, Cortland Sutton's been okay, but my God, top 10 wide receiver.
He's averaging 13 points a game. We're in a wide receiver depression at the minute.
We are. It feels like it. Patrick Mahomes, 269 passing yards. 3 touchdowns, 60 rushing yards as well in that absolutely hard fought, you know, blood and guts on the line victory against the Panthers. Josh Jacobs, 106 rushing yards, 3 rushing touchdowns. Really good performances.
Jacobs is on a tour, by the way, at the minute. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen what he's been doing the recent like kind of month, 3 weeks, but he's on an absolute tour, Josh Jacobs.
I'm very aware of it. And incredible that he was, you know, had that good of a fantasy day and absolutely non-existent in the passing game. He had one target and he didn't catch it. Mm. Tua as well, 317 for 4. That goes hand in hand with Jalen Waddle, 8 for 144 and 1 on my bench. On my bench. Bucky Irvin, though, 8-7 for 1. And then 6 for 64 through the air, looking really good. I mean, Rashad White wasn't nowhere, but Irvin certainly was the headline in this game, wasn't he, Sharples?
Yeah, I mean, Rashad White was fortunate as well. They let him have a 1 yard goal line carry getting a touchdown. I think we said it last week. I know you're interested in him, but he's not a running back. You have to treat him like a wide receiver, really, at this point.
That's a shame.
You know, he will get work, but in a game against the Giants who have folded, where they're getting red zone work, it was all about Bucky Irvin. And to be fair, I'm pretty sure they gave a goal line carry to an absolute randomer who stole a touchdown from them both. I want to say his name was like the most beige name ever. His name's like Sean Walker or something like that.
Tucker.
Sean Tucker.
Tucker.
That's it. Might as well be Walker. Walked into the end zone, much to my chagrin.
DJ Moore, 7 for 106 and 1, hand in hand with Caleb Williams, 340 for 2, 33 rushing yards. A really good play as well. I think I saw there was a play where Caleb Williams rolls out to the right, he's getting chased down, and he leaps up and throws a bit of a dart to maybe one of the running backs down the line about 20 yards away. And I think maybe it was like a ESPN or something, Instagram post that was essentially just compared it to Mahomes. It's like, Mahomes didn't invent throwing the ball. He didn't, you know. Trey McBride, 12 receptions, 133 yards. Very nice. Trey McBride, if you look at his game log, he's been really good this year. Really, really good. He has sort of had that. He's had that breakout. He really has. I don't know why that seems to have gone under the radar, though, but he really has.
Two words, Lou. Brock Bowers.
Brock Bowers, yeah, that is why he's gone under the radar. That is a shame. Yeah, because one of the only players better than McBride this year has been Bowers. Jahmyr Gibbs, 2 touchdowns, and Janu Smith, continues to be the Deebo Samuel for the Dolphins. 9 for 87 and 1. Don't know what's going on there. I don't even want to try and figure it out, I'll be honest with you. The worst players this week, though, some absolutely big hitters to start us off. Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey. I don't know what to do with these guys, because you're going to play them. There's no, you know, can't really read anything into this. Justin Jefferson as well. Sometimes it just doesn't happen for you in a game. Justin Jefferson said, like, to I'm sure the anger of every single fantasy football player in the world, Justin Jefferson said after the game, listen, if it's between me going off and the team winning, I want the team to win. Which is very diplomatic, but
not the attitude to have, is it?
Not the attitude to have at all. Yeah, sort of the anti-Aaron Rodgers take there as well, really.
Say what you want about the likes of Devontae Adams. Like, obviously, you know, wouldn't want to be his teammate, but that's what I want in my fantasy wide receivers. I want them to be Adonis.
Yeah, definitely. You want them crying on the sideline if they only get 4 targets or something.
Yeah.
Jonathan Taylor, Johnny T. Jonathan Taylor is outside the top 20 running backs in points per game this season. Lads, is this purely a Richardson thing, or?
Yeah, this whole team's worse with Richardson, especially Jonathan Taylor. The offense just doesn't click, does it? I mean, I was optimistic because I think Taylor's still a really talented player, but I don't really want any It's just, you know what it is? It's totally just volatile and unpredictable, this offense. You've got no idea what it's going to look like with Richardson at the helm, and that goes for the wide receivers, that goes for Richardson himself, that goes for Taylor at running back. You've no idea what you're going to get week to week.
Yeah, it's true.
It's interesting as well. I traded for him a few weeks ago. I was desperate for running back, and not so much against the Lions. He only had 11 carries, but before then, he's getting 20 carries most games. It's just not turning into anything. And then against the Lions, he'd had about 10 carries for 30 yards. And because they were chasing the game, they just didn't touch the ball in the entire second half. Now, when you look at an Eagles or a Ravens or something, when they're down, they go to their superstar running back. With Richardson at the helm, the Colts just don't seem to do that, and they've been doing that in years prior, which is why he's been so good. So I think, yeah, Richardson coming in just seems to have shifted the whole dynamic and who's it benefiting, really? Because the Colts aren't winning, Jonathan Taylor's not playing well, the wide receiver core very hit and miss. He's getting reps, but to what end?
True. I know.
Yeah, Luke, just to interject, just on the wide receiver conversation, I'm just quickly going through because I was curious to see, you know, okay, is the wide receiver scoring down this year? What are the averages looking like? So, I mean, we've got Chase averaging 22 points a game at the wide receiver one position. Bit of a drop down to St. Brown at 18. Another drop to 17 to Lamb. Another drop to 16 to Jefferson. And then currently Terry McLaurin in fifth position, wide receiver 5 on the season at 14
that
points.
Is shocking.
Now, just going back 3 years, the past 3 years, you've got multiple people in the top, all the top 5 receivers points per game, the top 3, I should say, receivers points per game are plus 20 points. But 2021, 2022, and 2023, you had to be at the top end of 16 points a game to be in the top 10. Whereas, you know, you're looking at Sutton and Flowers at 13 points a game, joined 9th this year. So we're not just making it up. That's arguably 3 points a game that just in the top 10, the wide receiver position is down on this year. So you're going to feel that in your fantasy teams, especially if you're like me, and based on what the wide receiver scoring was like the past few years, you draft wide receiver heavy, and that's your strategy. And looking at that, it's pretty plain to me why my main league team is 6-6 now, looking at that.
Yeah, that's a shout, and I'm sure, you know, if those numbers don't bump up as the season goes on, that's something that I'm sure, like,
you're going to feel it next year. You're going to feel it in the draft next year.
You're going to feel it in the draft this year. Something we'll be looking into when we sort of review the season.
Because if you think about it, all the values this year that you're going to be speaking about are going to be running backs, really.
Yeah, you know, yeah, exactly. You know, you can see it right now. Barkley already an insane value. Derek Henry. Yeah, these guys that you just weren't really sure of taking in the first round,
and then
second round.
They go top 10 next year and both get hurt week one for the season. Yeah. Bam.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got the script.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, just digging into those numbers, and it's pretty shocking.
It is. So, it is. Look, nice one.
Really, it's not a moral victory of the Cortland Sutton thing for you. It's a moral. It's a moral loss. It's a victory in the statistics, but morally, that's a loss for everybody,
except for me.
Yeah.
Brock Bowers. Pretty poor game. 4 of 10 reception. 4 receptions, 10 targets. Minshew is now injured. So, Brock Bowers might take a bit of a dip. James Conner.
Whoa. No. Dan Jones to the rescue.
Oh, yeah.
Great. Dan Jones. You heard me. Dan Jones
to the rescue. Okay, great. Yeah, great. James Conner. 8 rushing yards. 8 rushing yard shackles, shaking his head once again.
He's been so consistent this year. Like, not been amazing, but consistent. Like, you can pretty much bank on him for 15, 16 points most weeks. And when I needed him, just completely kicked me in the eye.
It's always the case. That's the beauty of fantasy football. Connor, 8 rushing yards. Javonte Williams said, "Whoa, hold my Gatorade."
True.
And went for -2 rushing yards. Remember those like a month ago when Johnny Williams looked pretty good? God.
It's a horrible process putting him in your lineup every week. It's like my phone gets heavier when I do it. Yeah. I don't know what the science is behind that. It's just horrible. Yeah. It's hard to do.
Yeah. And do you feel the same about Ramondre Stevenson? Because he's also on this list.
Not anymore that I traded him away.
Oh, yeah. Deebo Samuel as well, poor game. Aaron Harrison Jr., Cade Otton, David Njoku. You'd expect those guys to bounce back. Quentin Johnson was the goose of the week. Feel like we have one of them every week, to be fair. It's Quentin Johnson this week. Lovely stuff. Mm-hmm. Let's get on to news and injuries, though. You alluded to the little bit of news that I've got out because we didn't get to this. This happened after we recorded. But Daniel Jones was actually released by the New York Giants, which, you know, it completes one of the most impressive heists in NFL history. Daniel Jones stole $160 million from the New York Giants in, you know, clear as day, in broad daylight. And power to him for it. That man has a generational wealth now for doing jack all. Injuries, though. David Montgomery exited the Lions game with a shoulder injury, non-participant Monday. He needs to be practicing this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, because they've got a Thanksgiving game on Thursday. So keep an eye on that. Brian Robinson Jr., as you alluded to earlier, Al, exited a couple of times against the Cowboys, ultimately ruled out with an ankle injury. Monitor the practices because they might rush him to get back, because Austin Eckler in the same game had a pretty nasty looking concussion in the fourth quarter, so he's going to miss some time there.
I would pick up Jeremy McNichols then, because he could be the starting back this week.
Jezza McNick.
Yep.
Pick him up. And he had a nice game filling in as a starter earlier in the season as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. J.K. Dobbins, I was thinking it's some sort of nickel and dime joke there. I don't know. You know, Jeremy McNichols with more than that. I don't know. Something like that.
I don't know.
J.K. Dobbins left the Monday night game in the Thursday, on Monday night, I should say, with a knee injury. Monitor that one. That's a pretty big one. Dobbins has been one of those values that we were talking about at the running back position. week-to-week starter for a lot of people, so monitor that. Josh Downs suffered a shoulder injury in the Colts game, considered week-to-week. And yeah, Gardner Minshew to miss the rest of the season with a broken collarbone. Great stuff. Al, we love to be accountable on this podcast, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Not a great deal to report. Fairly clean week, just the one miss for us all, which was your quarterback, Lou Jared Goff. You had Rashad White and Calvin Ridley and Will Disley all pretty much hit the projection.
Well, again, I was playing it like bowls.
Okay. I got a hit with the lesser-known quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. Brian Robinson Jr. was injured. Rome Odunze, who I've just looked, he's got about 30 points to catch up to be to make my bold prediction come true in terms of the two Chicago wide receivers being top 24 wide receivers. DJ Moore's already a top 24, so come on, Rome, I know you can do it. Zach Ertz hit with 15 points. Sharple's got a nice hit with Will Levis, 16 points there. David Montgomery, Ladd McConkey, both a roundabout hit the projections. Dallas got a bit of a disappointing game, but not quite a miss.
Oh, God, we need to pick that up, don't we? We need to pick it up. I feel like...
I mean, we've eliminated the misses, though. We eliminated the misses.
We're
chopping away at it. Two misses last week, one this week. So, you know.
Yeah. We're in poorer form than the NFL kickers, I'd say.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Who still looks shocking.
Don't know about that.
Sorted out.
And as someone from England and who feels qualified to say this, just kick it. It's not that hard.
Yeah, it really isn't that hard.
Just kick it through the posts, by the way.
I feel like you could
get a teenager from any high school in England to do that. Just kick it through the posts, lads.
I got a bit of a theory here now. Obviously, this is speaking no technical knowledge of NFL kicking at all. I just think stereotypically in the United States, they're not as good at football as, you know, South American people, European people. Doesn't come as naturally to them. So when you implement a kicking phase of your sport, They've almost sort of overcomplicated it, and it's like, right, you need to rehearse exactly the exact amount of steps you need before you get the ball, and it's like, no, just kick the ball. just kick the ball.
Just kick it, just line it up and boot it.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. I know, yeah. Exactly. Because then it's like one false move and you're completely out of whack. But when you're playing football, you can never line it up like that. Unless you're taking a penalty.
Yeah.
You know, so...
You're just kicking it, yeah. Stupid idiots is all I'll say. But let's look ahead to week 13. Week 13 in the National Football League. We're creeping ever closer to the playoffs in fantasy football and in real life. We'll start as we always do, Al.
Forget about it!
Yeah, just dead quick on that last point, Lou. I mean, it's typical, isn't it? You know, an American would listen to this podcast, or you could imagine being over on college football game day and you're talking smack to Pat McAfee and they're all saying, well, you do it then, you do it if it's so easy. I'm saying right now it is. I will do it. Put the ball anywhere.
Yeah.
I don't care. It is that easy. For someone who's played football, it is. I'll put my money where my mouth is. I will die on this hill. It's that easy.
Yeah.
Anyway. At the quarterback position, the forget about it section, players that are locked into your lineup no matter what, we have got Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen and Joe Burrow.
Hey, forget about it.
Running back position this week, Alvin Kamara, Joe Mixon, Bijan Robinson, Christian McCaffrey, Jahmyr Gibbs, Kyren Williams, Saquon Barkley. I feel like I'm going to add Josh Jacobs into there as well, mate, and Derrick Henry. Thank you. They've got harder matchups this week. That's why I didn't mention them at first. But yeah, cheers. He's noted it down.
Forget about it.
Wide receiver position, Jamar Chase, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Justin Jefferson.
Forget about it.
I think you're being very fast and loose there. I know your wide receiver.
Well, I've just been through wide receiver numbers with you. That's why that list is pretty small. Tight ends, Brock Bowers, George Kittle, Noah Gray. Travis Kelce. Is he called Noah Gray? He is called Noah Gray.
Travis Kelce.
Travis Kelce. And Trey McBride.
Forget about it.
At least it's not as bad as when Ertz and Goddard were on the same team and one of them wore 89 and one of them wore 88. That was stupid.
Yeah.
At least one of these guys was 84, so a four can't really get confused with a... And one of them was stupid mustard gloves and shoes.
Yeah, idiot.
Yeah.
let's get on to projection beaters. Guys who we think are going to outscore their ESPN projection by 4 or more points. Quarterback we'll start with, and we'll start with Alex Sharples.
Quarterback this week, shot for the stars, boys, projected 19.2 points. Baker Mayfield going up against the Carolina Panthers. A little bit worried they went quite run heavy when they were up against the Giants last week. So if it gets too one-sided, I might lose out a little bit, although he did get himself a cheeky rushing touchdown. But I think, you know, we saw Carolina put up a reasonable fight against the Chiefs. Hopefully there'll be a bit more of a back and forth. But equally, still against an absolutely terrible defense, should be plenty of opportunity to throw the ball, get into the red zone, get some touchdowns. So I think 19.2 could be on the low side because I think it's going to be one of Baker's bigger weeks this week. I'll got himself a hit last week picking Mahomes against the Panthers, so I'm going to follow in his footsteps.
Yeah.
Very nice. Al?
I've gone Russ Wilson against Cincinnati. Projected just the 14.7. Bengals' third best matchup for fantasy quarterbacks this season. Also allowed the joint fifth most rushing touchdowns. And the reason I'm saying that is because Wilson could sneak in the end zone here, which he did a few weeks ago when he had a really big game. Been a bit inconsistent the past few weeks with Wilson, but I expect him to get things back on track in a plus matchup.
Yeah, you know what? I was debating Wilson as well. I do think he's a nice player at that very low projection. I'm going with Matt Stafford, projected 17.1. Matt Stafford, he's been the quarterback 7 since week 8, which is when Cup and Nakua came back, averaging 20 fantasy points a game and leading the league in passing yards and throwing 12 touchdowns to 3 interceptions in those 5 games with Cup and Nakua back. So Stafford, he's sort of truly back to his reliable streaming borderline starting for fantasy quarterback. Disappointed last week against the surging Philly team, but yeah, I think the Rams are still maybe the best shot to win that division. I don't know, but I would probably put my money on the Rams. Chance to get back on track this week against New Orleans Saints. The Saints have been on a resurgence since firing Dennis Allen. Impressive 2-game winning streak, but even in those 2 wins, they allowed Jameis Winston to go 395 for 2. And although Kirk Cousins didn't find someone in the end zone, he also threw for over 300 yards. So I don't think they've all of a sudden become a good defense, a defense that you're scared of. I think they've just become competitive again, which is usually a recipe for success in fantasy football. Competitive games, more scoring, more fantasy points. So that's certainly how the bookmakers see it as well. This is the second highest over-under of the week at 48.5. I think it'll be a good one in New Orleans. Narlands. Two teams very much alive in their respective divisions, all to play for. I think the Rams and Stafford have come out slinging. Not swinging, slinging. Running back Sharples.
Cream Hunt.
Creamy Hunt.
Went for Baker at quarterback. What is a Baker without cream? Cream Hunt running back for the Kansas City Chiefs. Playing a dangerous game. It's worked for me in the past. it's not worked for me in the past. Isaiah Pacheco, who's been on IR for a good many moons, has a projection himself. He's projected 11.8 and could well be back in the lineup, which would obviously push Hunt down. But I think if you've been out that long, they're not just going to go out and give him 30 carries. So it's, I feel like it's that golden situation where if Pacheco plays, Hunt can still not be a miss. And if Pacheco misses, then I've got Hunt at the discount price of 10.4. So yeah, playing the game, having a gamble. Let's see.
Nice, nice, Al.
Gobble, gobble. It's Thanksgiving weekend and I'm cooking James cooking.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah, I wanted to try and fit in a Thanksgiving thing there, but I don't think any of my players are playing on Thanksgiving. Anyway, James Cook projected 15 against San Francisco, who just got torched by Josh Jacobs, which put them into the bottom third of the league at defending against the run. Buffalo are coming off a bye week. They like to rush the ball. 49ers also giving up 50-plus receiving yards multiple times to running backs this season against teams like the Bucks, the Ravens, the Eagles, Seahawks, Patriots. I think they gave up 80-plus receiving yards to the Patriots running backs. So, yeah, I think Cook's going to be used in this game. And, you know, they're really catching the 49ers on the ropes at the minute, the Bills are. I think they could potentially deliver a knockout blow to the San Francisco season almost this week. So, yeah, gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble. I'm going Rico Dowdle, who is playing on Thanksgiving. Projected 13.9 points. Listen, this Dallas team isn't going anywhere, you know. Not in a good way. I mean, they're literally going nowhere. But it was a pleasant surprise for fantasy last week that they're able to put up so many points. I mean, Dowdle didn't blow up the fantasy box score himself, but he had a very solid 86 rushing yards on 19 carries. I mean, he's been the lead back in Dallas pretty much all year. Any doubts of that have waned whenever anybody else has carried the ball for the team as well. So the workload's going to be there. Opportunity for fantasy points as well is going to be there this week on Thanksgiving against the Giants, who have been getting absolutely torn apart on the ground. They're giving up almost 150 yards and over a touchdown per game on the ground on the season. So, you know, combine that with them being well and truly in tank mode with Tommy DeVito, I think Dallas could have another win here, weirdly. Although it is in Dallas, so there's every chance the Giants could win by 50. Let's go wide receiver, Sharples.
Gone for Calvin Ridley, projected 13.8 points. Don't feel good about this one. Feel about as good as when I picked Will Levis last week, but he was a hit. You know, really don't know what you're going to get out of this offense. But to be fair to Ridley, you know, he's been pretty stable for the past 4 or 5 weeks with a couple of really nice games. Going up against the Commanders, who have been stuttering a little bit of late, but you would back the Commanders to put up a lot of points. Tennessee to be giving up a lot of points and so chasing. And, you know, with Will Levis, there is every chance that you could get a 98-yard touchdown, as Westbrook Akini did the other week. Although it might have been chalked off, I can't remember. Who knows? Who knows? I was going to continue, but I'm actually not going to continue. Who knows?
Al,
now I'm going to go AJ Brown.
Of course you are. Boo, this is it. You're wielding the power of the forget about it.
Projected 17.3 at Baltimore. Now, because you're being babies about it, I will make this my wide receiver one call on the week. I think AJ Brown's going to be the wide receiver one on the week. The Ravens are awful at defending the pass. Okay, they tightened up the ship a bit against the Chargers. That notorious pass-heavy offense that is the Los Angeles Chargers. Of course, they're not a pass-heavy offense. They've given up 400 more yards than anyone else on the season so far. Eagles are cooking at the minute, averaging over 30 points per game over the past month. Yeah, we're going to be talking about Saquon a lot, but Brown is heating up, 109 yards in two of his past three games. I expect this game to be high scoring, even if I don't think the Eagles are going to win it. But I'm calling AJ Brown wide receiver one on the week.
I challenge you to a duel, sir. I challenge you to a duel. Because I've gone Devonta Smith. Projected 11.8. And you know what, listeners, a lot of the notes are going to be similar to yours, so decide who did the best research. I had to get somebody in this game, though. It's the game of the week. Eagles at Ravens, 51-point over-under. Ravens favoured by just 3 points. So, very close one. Surely this is going to be a barnstormer. And one in which the Eagles can't just lean on Saquon Barkley, as you were saying, Al. Ravens have been solid against the run this year, but on the flip side, very, very, very poor against the pass. They're far and away the best matchup to face in fantasy football for wide receivers. Baltimore, they're giving up 43 points per game to the position on the season. That's 3.5 more points a game than the second worst team. So, I mean, when you're talking about the margins, that's pretty large, really. Smith, he's had an up-and-down year, really. He's played 9 games. He's surpassed 75 receiving yards in 5 of them, but he's fallen under 30 yards in 3 of them. I don't think Smith's lost a step. I don't think he looks like he's carrying an injury or anything. I think it's just been down to the shift in this offense with the focus on Barkley dominating as much as he has. But as we said, don't think that's going to be the case in this one. And if there was ever a time for Smith to get back on track, I think it's in this game. He has so much talent, the big plays that this guy has in him, and at 11.8 projection, that's a gimme, surely.
Is there an echo in here? Did I not just say all that?
Yeah. I just wanted to reiterate it in a much more frantic mode of speaking. Sharples, tight end.
Well, before I do that, I'm disappointed because you had the chance to edge the analysis there when you said, well, you said large margin when you really had the chance to say largin. So I'll leave that one for me.
Okay.
Thank you.
Less wastage.
Thank you. Lastage.
Wastage. Yeah.
Lastage. Less wastage. Anyway.
That's my boy. Hunter Henry is a man who plays in the NFL. He is a tight end for the New England Patriots. He is projected 10.6 points. I think it will be a relatively close game. The Colts are giving up the 5th most points to fantasy tight ends, and since Drake May's come in and been at the helm, he's had pretty consistent targets. One bad game against Chicago, but other than that, you know, you're looking at 7-8 targets a game. Never going to be an absolute showstopper, but if he gets himself a touchdown with 4 or 5 catches, he's probably going to be a hit. And I don't feel too amazing about the rest of the tight ends. There's some high projections. I'm gonna play it safe, and still probably goose with Hunter Henry.
Nice, Al.
I'm going Taysom Hill because the last time he played an NFL game, he scored 41 fantasy points.
Very nice, very very nice. I'm gonna go with Pat Freiermuth, projected 6.3 points. He had his highest yardage of the season last week. Feel like the Steelers are going to have to air it out in this game. Echoing your points again, Al, with Russell Wilson against the Bengals. I mean, they've been a very nice match for tight ends as well, giving up 16 points per game to the position. So, Fry move for me. And it's Alex Sharples' game. Cheers.
Mixed bag this week, as it often is. Got 3 in the grey. One of them I had to shoehorn in there. See if you can decide which one. I've got Packers, Dolphins, Eagles, Ravens, and Bills, 49ers.
Obviously, Packers, Dolphins.
I'm pretty confident in that one. I had to shoehorn the underperforming 49ers in.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think with the two offenses on display, I think Dolphins Packers could be a real shootout. In the good, I've gone Lions Bears mainly because the Lions are playing and quickly becoming. If the Lions are in a match, it's good. Commanders Titans because I do think it's going to be entertaining despite everything I've said about Will Levis so far. Then I got Bengals Steelers and Vikings Cardinals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in the Bengals Steelers because potent offense against potent defense.
Yeah, plus it always gets all of those AFC North games are just spicy.
They do tend to be spicy. Like,
no love lost between any of those teams.
Trudging through to the Meh, we've got Chiefs Raiders, Jaguars Texans, Falcons Chargers, Jets Seahawks, Saints Rams. And Panthers Buccaneers.
Yeah.
Three in the bad. Cowboys Giants. I'm not even trolling. I don't. The Giants are down tools. The Cowboys are bad. It's in division, but it just doesn't matter.
At least it's not gonna be probably the most watched regular season game of the entire year. You know, the middle game on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Don't forget to give thanks to the NFL schedulers for that one.
That is unfortunate.
Yeah.
And then we've got the Patriots Colts. Broncos Browns. Nothing against the Broncos. They've been good, but I don't have any enthusiasm for this Browns team. So.
That's an unfortunate Monday night game, isn't it?
Yeah. And that'll do us. It's Thanksgiving this week, so don't forget to give thanks.
Thank you.
End of sentence. Any closing thoughts, lads?
I have a closing thought. I heard a rumour that Aaron Rodgers wants out of the Jets, and would it be how hilarious yet worryingly real, or realistic, I should say, is the thought that he ends up with the Vikings next year and completes the Brett Favre career path? Because just think about it, right? There's like, realistically, four or five teams that Rodgers could be on out of the 32 teams, and the Vikings are one of them.
Yeah. Me and Sharples were talking just before we recorded. There was an Aaron Rodgers quote that was, it's really great. I'll read it out to you. I don't know if I want to play yet, but New York would be my first option. So, Jets fans, I'm sure you're there, sat praying to your Lord and Saviour, Aaron Rodgers. Please, Aaron Rodgers, please return next year. He said he might do. He said you would be the first choice. How do you feel about that, Sharp?
That's always nice when the team that you're on would be your first choice. The team you're currently playing for.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's good of him to say.
Kind of normally an unspoken thing when you're wearing the jersey.
Yeah, exactly. But whatever. And that'll do us, though. Thanks for listening. Happy Thanksgiving. All that stuff. Goodbye.
See ya. Bye-bye.